Jesus, do you love him today? That's a great song. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. We will start there today. Isaiah chapter 7. John Lewis wrote this. He said, I grew up in rural Alabama, 50 miles from Montgomery, in a very loving, wonderful family. Wonderful mother, wonderful father. We attended church. We went to Sunday school every Sunday. Wonderful family, wonderful mother, wonderful father. That's a blessing. Amen? A wonderful mate, wonderful children. It goes on and on and on. And we understand that's a very positive statement. It's a blessing to say that. John Muir wrote this about Alaska. He said, to the lover of wilderness, Alaska is one of the most wonderful, he called it countries. It's a state, but he said, one of the most wonderful countries in the world. If you have a wonderful meal, take a wonderful trip, have a wonderful nap in church while the preaching's going on, you know, you're rested for the rest of the day. But it can be wonderful. Amen? Wonderful. It's a great thing. That's a positive statement. Maya Angelou wrote, whenever I want to laugh, I read a wonderful book. Children's Letters to God. You can open it anywhere. One I read recently said, Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but I prayed for a puppy. You know? And so there's a favorite book, and you say, boy, that was a wonderful book. That was encouraging. John C. Maxwell wrote, ranking among the greatest Christmas movie classics of all time, It's a Wonderful Life tells a story, a beautiful story about the priceless value of relationships. And relationships are wonderful. It's wonderful to have good friends. Amen. Good neighbors. Such a blessing. But what makes a wonderful life? Wonderful is described as adapted to excite wonder or admiration. Exciting, surprise, strange, astonishing. We'll look at Isaiah chapter 7 if you're there in your Bibles. And well, we're going to get to the word wonderful. But if we use the word joyful, that means full of joy. If we use the word peaceful, it means full of peace. You get where we're going. Stressful means full of stress. But whatever you put full on the end of a word, it means there's a filling there. We have in Isaiah chapter 7, there's a prophecy about the virgin birth of our Lord. That's an amazing thing to think about. It's beyond our comprehension how God could do that. We understand how he did it as far as what he says about it, but it's hard to relate that. We find in verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us, according to the book of Matthew. We come over to chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, just flip the page, and we come to verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name is called Wonderful. Our Lord has many, many names in the Scripture, and they're all significant. The Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright Morning Star. You know, all wonderful names. Wonderful names. But we come to this text, and we're just going to look at that one word. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we so want to honor you today and glorify your Son. We pray that as we speak today, as we preach, as we hear, that our hearts would just be filled with wonder. God, grant that today. I know that would please you. And Father, it would just be a blessing to us. Bless your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great, great, great text. In Psalm 40, in verse 5, the Bible says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works. And we could take a long time and go into those, but we won't take that as a stopping point here. We're just going to keep going right on. Psalm 78:4, the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. You have Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In that same psalm, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, it says the exact same thing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. There's a praise there. And God says it four times in that one psalm. Psalm 111, verse 4, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. Psalm 119, 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. Psalm 139, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. There are some things about God that we just cannot understand. It's too high. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Who can know the mind of the Lord? His ways are past finding out. And so we believe these things by faith. Wonder means full of wonder, and there's no question that our God is full of wonder. But what about us? Amen? He is a wonderful God, and we find that over and over in the scriptures. But is he wonderful to us? Do we have that wonder and that awe? Stand in awe and sin not, the Bible tells us. So somebody wrote this, and it took me a little while to understand this, but I think it has deep meaning. He said, we cease to wonder at what we understand. We cease to wonder at what we understand. There's things we understand, and no big deal, I understand how he did that, you know. But there are things that God does, and there are things who God is, things that show who God is, that just draw wonder and appreciation and admiration. Think about the wonder of being absent from the body and present with the Lord. You ever think about that? That's a verse in the Bible. For the Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the very presence of God. We're in his presence. I think that's an amazing thing. How about where it says, where I am, there ye may be also? How about what Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ? Have you ever just, when you're reading your Bible or hearing the Bible preached or taught, you just say, boy, that's a powerful verse. Where I am, there ye shall be also. I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to have perfect knowledge. I've almost got it now, but just not quite yet. But, I mean, perfect knowledge. We shall know even as we're known. That's going to be an amazing thing. We're going to be like Christ. Not only perfect knowledge, we're going to have a glorified body. Think of that. We shall be like him. Fullness of joy. I've had good days. I've had bad days. I've had days when I should have had joy and I didn't have joy. That's on me. But think of in his presence is fullness of joy. Won't that be something? But here's the one that I really like, and I believe it's true from the scripture. I won't remember any sin, any regret, any heartache from this life. Those memories are going to be gone. You ever hurt somebody by words or actions? Anybody ever hurt you by words or actions? Sometimes we carry those things, and those things destroy us on the inside or cause us grief or even guilt. When we get to be with the Lord, that's all going to be gone. That's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Perfect knowledge, glorified body, fullness of joy, no memory of sin. Think of the wonder of creation. In the book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created all things. That's amazing, isn't it? It's a wonder. In the book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Think of that. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's the incarnation of Christ. In one chapter, you just see so many powerful truths. The Bible also tells us that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God said, let there be light, and there was light. I do not understand that. I believe it, amen, but I don't understand how he did it. He spoke the worlds into existence. I believe that because the Bible says it. You know, it's like the old saying, well, I don't think Jonah got swallowed by a whale. Well, the Bible says he did, but I would have believed it if it says Jonah swallowed the whale. Amen? If it's in the Bible, it's in the Bible. And what a blessing that is. So we look at this today. You know, there's one song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." A cross. Our Savior died on a cross to pay for our sins. Wonder, as opposed to, not opposed to wonderful, but it's a little different direction we're going to go today. Wonder is that emotion which is excited by something new or the presentation to the sight or mind of something unusual, great, and extraordinary. We know that our God is wonderful. We could prove that without a doubt. But I want to take part in that feeling, in that emotion. I want to be filled with wonder, to be filled with awe, to be filled with just this desire to just go a little deeper with God. What is it? Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and ye shall find. But I got to thinking about that knock and it shall be opened unto you. Here's the door, and God says, knock, I'll open it. And he opens our hearts. He opens our understanding. He opens our eyes to more truth. Amen? There's things as believers, we get saved and, boy, this is deep. This is powerful. This is so wonderful that we can learn something new about God or even read something that we've believed for years and just think about it for a while. While I was musing, the fire burned. I mean, it's just, I'm thinking about this and it's so wonderful. And he opens that door and you walk through and you go, wow, this is quite a room. And that room has doors. And you open another door and you go into another room. Wow. And you just grow in grace and knowledge. It's wonder. Amen? It's wonder because he's so wonderful. You've probably heard of the seven wonders of the world. They were the Egyptian pyramids, the mausoleum erected by Artemisia, the temple of Diana at Ephesus, the walls and hanging gardens of Babylon, the Colossus at Rhodes. You know all this, right? Yeah. The statue of Jupiter, Olympus, and the watchtower of Alexandria. You don't know, but 2 years ago, they discovered an eighth wonder of the world. It was a 30-minute sermon right here in this church. And it's never going to happen again, as you know, but wonders. And there are things that man builds or does, and we go, wow. But we understand how that was done. But the things that God does, amen? We believe what he says, but there's no way it's too deep. It's beyond our understanding, and it causes us to wonder. Joshua, they're getting ready, the Jews are getting ready to go into the promised land. And in Joshua 3:5, Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He gave them victory over their enemies. He gave them the promised land that was promise to them. You have Job 9:10, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, wonders without number. He daily loads us with benefits, amen? And so he does them without wonder, and if we would just look for them during the day, it's so, so amazing. Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Our bodies, it's just a wonder how it all works. 1 Chronicles 16:9. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk of all his wondrous works. This is a good thing to do, to just talk about the wonder of God and all the things he's accomplished and is doing and has prepared for us. It's good to talk about heaven once in a while. Psalm 96, verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. So, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have so much to talk about. In Matthew 15, great multitudes came to the Lord and he healed them. And we find in Matthew 15:31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. They wondered at his wonderful works. They wondered. And the more we see those things, You ever watch something on TV or hear somebody say something, you go, wow, that's really something, you know? And all of those things are able to be explained. But when you talk about the spiritual things of God, it's just so wonderful to think about them. Luke 11:14. Jesus was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. You ever see somebody get saved and their whole life change? And you know God did that for them? We have Acts chapter 3 and verse 10. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. It was a lame man. And he was begging at the temple. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And his feet, immediately, his legs got strength, and he was walking and leaping and praising God. It did not go unnoticed. Amen? People wondered at what was done because he was lame from his birth. I wonder what happened to him. I know when my wife and I got saved, people said, man, what happened to you? You know, wonder what happened to you. A.W. Tozer writes, it's a wonder of wonders to see a soul saved, a life changed. A real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one whom he has never seen. Talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see. Expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another. Empties himself in order to be full. Admits he is wrong so he can be declared right. Goes down in order to get up. Is strongest when he is weakest. Richest when he is poorest. Happiest when he feels the worst. He dies so he can live. Forsakes in order to have. Gives away so he can keep. Sees the invisible. Hears the inaudible. And knows that which passes knowledge. That's quite a paragraph. But you can identify with that if you know the Lord. It's absolutely amazing. Spurgeon wrote something about that. He said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful. And he said this, we want converts who know this Christ, men and women, to know he is wonderful. He is wonderful. And you get a group of people together that know the Lord is wonderful, and their songs express that. Amen? And their prayers express that, and their fellowship expresses that, because they are lost in his wonder and his grace. It's just so amazing. I am so thrilled to be saved. I am not worthy of the least of his mercies, but I wonder at all that he's done in my heart. Isn't that amazing? We're new creations in Christ. It's a wonder of wonders to see the will and the work of God. In 1 Timothy 3:16, boy, there's so many roads I want to go down today, but we would have a new wonder of the world. Amen? It'd be too long. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Without controversy. It's a mystery. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we preached about it last week. Or the week before, imputation. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we give him our sin and he gives us his righteousness. It's amazing, isn't it? There's no way to figure that out. It's just we're lost in wonder. Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Anybody can be saved. And then it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that dwells inside of you. His Spirit lives within you. Isn't that amazing? We have the Spirit of the living God in us. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. It's called Amazing Grace. So here's some of the songs. His name shall be called Wonderful. He's a wonderful Savior to me. His name is wonderful. There's a song just called Wonderful, and this is the chorus. Wonderful name he bears, wonderful crown he wears, wonderful blessings his triumphs afford, wonderful Calvary, wonderful grace for me, wonderful love of my wonderful Lord. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Wonderful love that rescued me. Wonderful peace. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful words of life, etc., etc., etc. Those are songs in your songbook. And when you know them, you can sing them anytime. And it brings that thought back to mind that we are filled with wonder at a wonderful Lord. I don't know if your song, what your song would be. I did a funeral a number of years ago when I was pastoring in Sturgis, and it was of a man that committed suicide. And it was a difficult funeral to do, as you can imagine. He had a lot of family that was there, but he had requested a song by, I think, Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. And that song was played at the end of the funeral, and it was so strange to me to hear that song of a man that took his own life, I Did It My Way. I don't ever want to do it my way. Amen? I've done things my way, and they haven't turned out so well. I want to do things his way. And then you're just filled with wonder, and you just let God work. Amen? Sing these songs. Wonderful. Adapted to excite wonder and admiration. So these songwriters must have felt that. Amen? What song would you write? What did I say the other day? Working in a coal mine, going down, 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 you know. It probably wouldn't be a country western song because everybody's pickup truck quits running and the dog bites them, you know. I don't know what it is, but and it could be. There are some wonderful country western songs. But what song would you write? What song would you sing? What song would you let come out of your heart to glorify Almighty God? It's wonderful. Amen. Unto you which believe, he is precious. In other words, unto you which believe, he is wonderful. We are filled with wonder. Call his name Emmanuel, God with us. It's just so amazing. He shall save his people from their sins. So many verses. In Hebrews it says, it's so great a salvation. So that would be so wonderful a salvation. What happens when you get saved? Anybody know? Wow, you fall off your horse and you see a light. No, that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. He fell to the ground and he saw this light and he heard this voice. But what happened when you got saved? What was your testimony? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Being born again. And so there's a specific time that we come to recognize that we're sinners and there's a Savior and we receive him as our Savior. What happened? Some people are more emotional than others. Amen? Some people cry, some people laugh, some people are happy, but something happened when we became Christians because the Bible says we're new creations in Christ. Certainly, we were filled with wonder at that special, special time. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And so that's what we say because we are filled with that wonder and we love him because he first loved us. It's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to know the Savior. It's wonderful to have your sins forgiven, is it not? Just to know that. Isaiah 12, I've been working on a message for some time about the joy of the Lord because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? And there certainly ought to be some joy. There's not joy in what's going on in our country. There's not joy in this or that. There's a lot of heartache. But when we think about our salvation, there's a lot of joy in that. And I think it's important because that's our strength. Sad people can be depressed and sleep a lot. Amen? And I've been there. Amen? And I like to sleep. So what a combination. You know, I fix myself by taking a nap. That's not how you fix yourself. How about these verses, Isaiah 12:3. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. We have Jeremiah 2:13, the fountain of living waters. John 4:14, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. To find that salvation. Who was the fellow that was looking for the fountain of youth? Ponce de Leon, was that who it was? Man, I remembered that all these years. And I don't think he found it. But if he did find it, do you think he would have been happy? I think that was his life's goal, I guess, or part of it. He wanted to find the fountain of youth. And if he drank from that and his silver hair, or how about just his hair came back? Amen? Okay, I'm not looking at anybody in particular. But I mean, think about the fountain of youth, if he found it. We have found something greater than that. Amen? Only in this life, we don't seem to experience that. We have abundant life, but once we cross that river, that eternal life, boy, that's going to be something. And though we don't understand it, we believe it, and it's wonderful. Amen? It's wonderful. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 34, the Philippian jailer rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he went on his way rejoicing when he accepted Jesus as his Savior. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is preaching in Samaria. It's a great revival. And there was great joy in that city. Joy. Where does the joy come from? There's this excitement. There's this wonder in the things of God and when we think about them. Last week, our message was on about knowing Jesus and knowing God and knowing the Scriptures. And as we know that Bible, as we let that Bible into our heart, it fills us with wonder because it's a living word. And it does something amazing for us. Godby wrote this. He said, It is very beautiful and inspiring to contemplate and recognize the fact that God, before the ages began their flight, saw me and commended my choice of the good way and showed me unto the glory of his wonderful salvation, which he had the delight in allowing me to have for 49 years. Think about it. God knew from eternity what your decision would be. Amen? He knew that. And he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So God sent his son and he died for the sins of the whole world. But he knew you would accept him. Amen? Think of that. I mean, that is too wonderful to think about. I don't understand it. I just know I had a choice and I know God spoke to my heart. And when that came together, that was amazing. Amen? Remember the day? It's a blessing. Everlasting salvation is wonderful salvation. Eternal salvation is wonderful salvation. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was a medical doctor and he became a preacher. But he wrote this. And maybe you can identify with this a little bit, and maybe not, but it's a tremendous truth. He said, our normal, ordinary view of salvation is hopelessly and ridiculously inadequate, what we think about salvation. Our trouble is that we always start with ourselves instead of starting with God. Instead of going to the Bible and looking at its revelation and discovering there what salvation means, I start with myself and certain things that I want and desire, certain benefits that I always want to enjoy in this life and in this world. I want forgiveness of sins, certainly. I want peace of conscience and of mind. I want enjoyment and happiness. I want to be delivered from certain sins. I want guidance. I want this and that. And my whole conception of salvation is reduced to that level. I don't know what your prayers were today. I mean, Lord, lead us. God, help us in this situation. And we talk to God, and that's natural, and that's what we think. But he goes on and says, the most wonderful thing of all is not that my sins have been forgiven, nor that I may enjoy certain experiences and blessings as a Christian, although we do. The thing that should astound me is that I am a child of God, one of God's children. Now just kind of let that sink in. I had to read it a couple times, but just let it sink in a little bit. The Bible tells us, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what ought to take our wonder and our awe. And because we are his children, we're joint heirs with Christ. Amen? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's coming. That day is coming. But the amazing thing, when I bowed my head and accepted Christ as my Savior, I became a child of God. You can't be unborn. Be born again, amen, of the Spirit. So I'm a child of God, and I will be for all eternity. And because I'm a child of God, when the Father looks at me, he sees his Son. Amen? And he loves me like he loves his Son. And for all eternity, I'm safe, I'm secure, I'm forgiven. In his presence is fullness of joy. Amen? That is wonderful. That is absolutely amazing. I love to preach the gospel because you can offer it to everybody. Amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody can come to Christ. Anybody can come to the Father through Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that call on his name. What is wonderful today? Oh, yeah, we're going out for a wonderful meal. Jerry and Angie, we're going out. We're going to go to this real fancy place today. It's got these gold arches on it. It's really high class, amen? And look at our terminology. Boy, Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon because it was short, amen? This is wonderful. That's one. Boy, these chairs are wonderful, and I'm just getting up for my wonderful nap. I got a wonderful job. I have wonderful children. I have wonderful parents. I have a wonderful mate. I mean, and we describe all of these things in a positive way. But think about God. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. And then that just reflects back on us because he's so full of wonder. We are filled with wonder. And that light shines on us. Amen? Think in your heart today, what's wonderful about God? And as you go through the day, maybe God will give you some scripture, whether it's the incarnation, whether it's the new birth, whether it's the second coming, whether it's creation, whatever it is, because mind can't comprehend those things. And so we wonder and we're filled with wonder. And God does that for a reason. I want to read something before we close. James Frame wrote this. He said, Jesus, who gave us our capacity of happiness and our capacity of speaking, realized the relationship which he had established between them. And so he said that the Christian ought to say often, the Lord be magnified. Now look at this. Our capacity of happiness and our capacity of speaking. I want fullness of joy. Amen? Probably won't have until I get home to be with the Lord. But I want to go through the day having his joy and his peace. As, what's the verse, Richard? What verse am I thinking of? Come on, Richard. You let me down every time I ask you this. But as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, if we're to say, the Lord be magnified, that needs to come from in here. Amen? And all we have to do is fill our hearts and our minds with the wonder of God. And it'll just come out. The song will sing itself. And you'll have the joy of the Lord. Stand in awe. Stand in wonder. And sin not. Rejoice in him. Amen? And we can do that today. We can cast down imaginations and the thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We can bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Whatsoever things are pure and lovely and honest and of good report, think on these things. Because when we do that, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We're really getting off of the news, my wife and I. She reminds me and I remind her. And because we turn it on and you start watching it for a little bit and you go, I don't even want to hear any more of this. Click. Amen? There's certain things that will take your mind and they'll just put you down. So let's fill our minds with the things that are going to give us joy and wonder, because he's wonderful. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for our Savior. Thank you for the blessing of knowing him. It's just such a miracle, Lord, to be born again. It's such a miracle to know you, to believe you, to love you. And I pray, dear God, that you'd continue to fill our hearts with wonder. There's so much that we won't understand this side of heaven, but we believe it for your honor and for your glory. Bless in this invitation time, and may you just fill minds with wonder and thoughts of you. For your glory we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.